our precious Heavenly Father, we thank you for your Son. Bless your word for your glory in Jesus' name. Amen. You that have your Bibles, we will be in the 7th chapter of Romans tonight. But first, I'd like to read a little something in 1 Timothy chapter 1, 7. Since we're getting into this chapter that has to do somewhat with the law. That's 1 Timothy 1, 6. Well, 7. He's talking about these people that want to still be a teacher of the law of Moses, desiring to be teachers of the law, understanding neither what they say, and that's for sure, nor whereof they affirm. In other words, they do not give the law its place. Now, he's going to give it its place here. For it's a minister of death. That's what it is. That's what the Bible says. But we know that the law is good if a man use it lawfully or give it its right place, what it was for. Knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous man. So, we've been teaching about twos and twos and twos. We're in the realm of righteousness or a righteous life. So the law was never made for a righteous life. Why give Jesus a set of law to live by when he couldn't sin? That's foolish, isn't it? Now, Galatians does tell you he was made under the law. And of a woman made under the law, but that's because Israel had put themselves under the law, and he had to make good their vow for them, which he did. So keep that in mind. You can read the rest, and it's for ungodlies and sinners. That's what the law and who the law is to show them that they are. Now going to our lesson, Romans chapter 7, with that in mind. In this chapter 7, we've got it to it. We left chapter 6, and chapter 6 tells you about sin. How God got rid of sin. And what he has done, its course, he killed his Son for sin. A penalty can't reach past death, is what he's trying to tell you here. Now, he does say a little about the law, but what he's saying, that in relation to sin. In 15, what then shall we sin because we're not under the law, but under grace? Now, we will get into chapter 7, and he will deal with laws. The one reason is because everybody tries to put themselves under a law after they're saved. Whether you realize it or not, that's what you did. You can't help it because that's the kind of creature you are. So, what Paul will do here now, he will be like a doctor. You would go have some trouble. Of course, you have trouble. Here you're saved. You know, every one of you that accepted the Lord Jesus, how it was. And then all of a sudden, it seemed like you were tempted above and beyond anything you ever had. Right away. So naturally, if you were holiness, you were told that to get your second work of grace or sanctification and all that would be taken out of you. So then those that did that, it was worse than ever. The motions. He read that. All this commotion. So, if you had something like that in your body, a disease, we have this AIDS. These people that have it, they've got a medicine now to keep it a lot in check. We have people that are, if they got enough money, they can keep it in check. They went to a doctor, and he affirmed that this is what they had. So he gives them this medicine, and it keeps that from exploding in their body. Well, now this is not exactly like that, but this is what you can use as an example. Now, Paul tells you how to locate this trouble. And he says, it's sin in your members, sin in the flesh, sin in the body, as he locates it, which is the same thing. And he tells you here that you're not going to get rid of it until your body's changed. So that's how long it's going to be there. Just like if you were diagnosed with the AIDS, they tell you the same thing. You're not going to get rid of it. When you do, you'll go back to the ground. That's what he told Adam. He's out of it you come, and out of it you're going to go back. Now his soul, his spirit didn't, but this body is weakened from sin. Matter of fact, it's helpless to sin. So Paul gives you the answer how to keep this in check. Now, Paul will get here over from 10 on in a space, and you'll know that he has to be talking about the law of Moses there. And him being a Jew, he was very zealous for the law. And that's what he was before he got saved on the road to Damascus. After that, he became Paul the Saved. He's got two eyes, but he was still zealous for the law. He was not now going out and doing a lot of things that some outbroken moral person, I mean unmoral person, does. His problem was the same thing he had before. He was zealous for the law. He wanted to be top dog. And he found out now that when he stirred this up, it brought out all manner of things in him. It was worse than he ever was. So this is how we'll read this now. So keep that in mind. This is what he's talking about. He's had twos, twos, and twos. And we will go to from chapter 6 to chapter 7. Remember how 5 ended. 5:21. That as sin has reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ. And then when he will get to the end of 7, always keep them in mind. O wretched man that I am, this is 7:24. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death that he's fighting with? As it was just said, now there's a lot of people that they realize I had to be delivered from sin and death. I had to. But they don't realize that they cannot anymore get themselves saved than they can deliver themselves from sin in the flesh and yielding to it. They don't realize that. They think because now I'm saved, me can do anything. Jesse said this morning that he's getting stronger, which he's supposed to. It says in 2 Corinthians 4 that this body you look at, and I look in the mirror now and I see the years coming now, And, but I see that going, and I see the inner guy. It's what Dad used to say, you that remember, don't look up here. You better see a young guy just full of life. You see the body. We're getting old, we that are really getting old, but he said the inner man is the one that's growing. Well, Jesse said that this morning, getting stronger all the time. But here's where you make your mistake. You think because that inner man is growing to a Christ-like person that he can finally whip old Esau. That's not the formula. He can never do that. He can only do it in weakness. See that? And that's where we get fooled. We think we've got Claire up here, and we don't have to have the life of the Lord, period, that he gave us with the power of the Holy Ghost. Jesse said tonight and this morning about Moses when he was fighting Amalek. And Joshua was down there fighting them. Well, in the first place, Moses had to sit down. First, he had to get that weak. He sat down and put up his hands. Well, he couldn't hold them up that long to whip Amalek. Because Amalek is a lifetime fight. See? So Hur got on one side, which is light, lightning. It's the Holy Spirit. And who is Aaron? The high priest. So it's the same thing he's saying here. Jesus, through Jesus. He's the one that's the interceder for you when you're in this battle. And the Holy Ghost. And you finally, who's doing it? Where was the battle being won? Out there with Joshua or up there with Moses? Where is this battle going to be won? The life of Christ? You can't do anything without it. Through the power of the Holy Ghost, holding your hands while you're helplessly sitting on a rock and can't move. That's where it'll be won. And that's what he's telling us here. Don't try it any other way. A person that would be diagnosed with AIDS and just really blowing up, he'd say, well, did you take the medicine? Well, I did, and I hoped it would go away. And I haven't did it for a few months. See? Helpless. You have got to learn the power of sin. Joe back there, that's what he was singing in his song. There's two things you're going to have to learn. You are actually helpless to sin till the day you are changed and sin is taken out in the finished work. Remember that. And how God looks at sin. That's what Paul will say. I didn't know sin. I had no idea how God looked at sin. Until after I was saved, and after I went back to the law. And then, what a shock. I didn't realize how helpless I was to sin, and what sin is. So, now, let's get into our lesson. Chapter 7. Know ye not, brethren, now, this is the church, as you can see down in 2, woman. This is what he's saying. Know ye not, brethren, this is what you keep in mind now, that a marriage, a man and a woman, the church. For I speak to them that know, and it isn't the law, it's law. The definite article isn't there. How that the law has dominion over a man as long as he lives. Of course a law is what? You don't go hang a, they don't send for a body of a dead person to execute him. They kicked Mussolini after he was dead till he almost didn't look human. But he never felt a thing. In other words, you can't reach him. And this is what it's saying. The law can now, its jurisdiction is over with. He's going to talk about this woman, and it's going to talk about two men here. A woman that has two husbands is going to more than likely have children, especially if they're as diverse as these two guys that are going to, a different one all the time. Huh? But if they were as diverse two husbands as these two guys, Adam and Jesus, you'd know each time she had a child, whose child that is, wouldn't you? Here, turn to Galatians 5 real quick. And let's read that. To give you the idea. 5:17 or 16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. There's two realms here. The flesh and the carnal realm. We'll read about them. There's two things we miss: sin and righteousness. See, there's two different complete things. For the 17, for the flesh wars, that's against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. They're at war. That's what's going on inside of you. The one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things you would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. In the spiritual realm, you can't have any law. The minute you put it back under the law, what you're doing is trying to put the life of Christ under law. He don't need law. There's no law for, we just read, for a righteous man. It's a waste of time. Now the works of the flesh are manifest. Here's the children now. And as we're going to get into 7, it's going to say in 4 and in 5 and then down later, fruit. See? That's what God is interested in, is fruit in your life. So, here from 17 to 22, you have the fruit of the one husband. That's what you have. And you always have the same fruit. The flesh, he wars. Now the works of the flesh are manifest. They're these: idolatry, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, evil thoughts, no control, idolatry, witchcraft, and hatred. Notice down the fruits of this other husband of the Spirit are love, the opposite of hate, joy. Do you go around gloomy all day? No joy of the Lord? See, whose fruit is that? And you know, a woman that has two husbands like this, they're really going to get into it, aren't they? Huh? You see? They're going to get into it. That can't be. That never could work. You know, you might have instance where it happens, but you can believe that one of those guys is real passive. And these two aren't. They're two opposites. You see? And peace, no rest whatsoever. Long suffering, no patience. Gentleness, you know, a harsh. Goodness, evil. And look, the first one, love and hate. So, back to 7:2, you know this. You know about marriage. Remember, the Jews were almost like the Muslims, Islam today. This is talking about the marriage of Roman law. They were very, and that was the law of that time. They were much more lenient toward women and pride themselves, and still today, if you trace it back. And he's saying here, as long as they live. Now, that's for the church, which has an husband is bound by the law to her. Husband, so long as he liveth. Because why? They're one. What did God say about Adam and Eve? They're one. They're Adam. They'll cling together. They're one. So when he says right here in this verse that by his body, we died with him. That's what he's saying. When it says, talks about the man, notice it's the man in the first verse, and then the woman, and then it talks about the woman in starting from the fourth, her dying. She's loose from the law of her husband. So then if while her husband liveth, she be married to another man, she shall be called an adulteress. Her, that's the old man. Now, as far as we've went through that, he is dead. But you gotta believe it. It's so. It's as so as I'm standing here and you're sitting there. God, when he says something, it is so. And he is doing it according to the holiest and according to the greatest way he can do it. See? This is his work. This is his glory. And you don't believe it, you'll be the one that'll find out at the end that he was right. And the old man was dead. And there were people that went according to this formula. And they grew to the full fullness of God, his son, and overcome. But if her husband be dead, she is free from, now get that law. So that she is no adulteress, though she be married to another man, or the new man. Which she is now. The new life. So the new life, see, has no law. Because the old, he's going to say about the old letter done away with, out of fear, thou shalt love. Why tell somebody to love? A woman and a man tell them now love each other. Whew. Well, that marriage ain't going to go very far, is it? These poor women in the East, they have to be married to some guy that they don't want at all. We just had that in this Mormon guy over here. There's no love in that. See? You get a piece of paper and you're married. Now that piece, that marriage license is as good as, of course, you can get a divorce, but as good until one of you dies. Now, they believe you're but that still married, but you're not still married after that. That license is void at the death of one of you. See? But this isn't a license like that. This is something love, is what he's saying. You don't put a law on the bride of Christ that she loves Jesus. She's not in love with Jesus. She's not going to marry him. Read the Song of Solomon. So he said, The new man, wherefore, my brethren, ye also become dead to the law by the body of Christ. In other words, you're one. The man and the woman are one. We were, it'll say here a little bit, wherein ye were held. That was the union with Adam. That was the realm he put us in. As it started off on 6. Why try to get over here in this realm when you can't? He says, that's foolish. Jesus said, you've seen me and you see my Father. Now you've found out you hate both of us. And you love darkness, he said in John 3. They love darkness. Jesse quoted this morning, not only do they love darkness, but they have pleasure in those that do the same. Well, this is a different realm. See, it's a different, complete thing. So you don't go and put the law at all on the new creation. It's a perfect life. It don't need a law because it cannot do any different. But the constraining thing is the love of Christ. And that's how the whole thing runs, is on love. Which just makes sense, don't it? Huh? It isn't. There's a lot of different kinds of love. That you can quote some kind of things and prephrase them, and it'd be all right. But you can't take God is love and take love as God. Boy, you can really get out of with that one. You see? There's a lot of different kinds of love. Peter the Great. And they say he was the greatest, most people think, for what he did with Russia. But he had a son. One older son. He had ones years and years later. But he had that one son. And he set him down and tried to teach him everything. If you know about Peter the Great, he opened Russia. He really studied. And if you think being one of them is la-di-da, la-di-da, then you don't know what they have to study. Well, that boy wouldn't study. He wanted to, he hated it. He got sick in one of the, when he was fighting, his dad went there for weeks and nursed him back to health, and they said how he loves his son. Finally, his son turned, ran away, if you that know the history. Finally come back to Russia. His dad said, you'll be forgiven. But then when his dad got him back there, he realized that he was never, ever going to keep the programs that he was. He was completely against them. So he hung him up. And he told him, you do not whip him to death. You whip him slowly to death. And it took him 10 days to whip him to death. He did that to his son. Now all those years that he loved that son, who did he really love? Himself. And when that boy didn't make him proud, what did he do? He showed who he really loved in the whole deal, didn't he? You see, David couldn't do that to Absalom. Absalom did even worse. But he couldn't do that. Could you actually do that to your child, regardless of what he'd done? And say you love him. There's many different kinds of love. And know it. But this love is a divine love. And it'll never fail. It will, perfect love will cast out all fear. That's this love. So, he says, for, wherefore, my brethren, ye also have become dead to the law by the body. You're one. Your union is not with Adam, as he's just said, and dead. That's over. That piece of paper that didn't mean a thing if there was no love in it. And don't. That's why a lot of people don't want to get married. They want to see if they really love first. Because they know that piece of paper isn't going to make them love. But this will make you love. And that's what he's talking about. If you really, you will deeply fall in love with your Father more and more. And it finally won't be your will, but it'll be the love of Christ that constrains me. And that'll be over and over again. And married to another. Even to him who is raised from the dead, that should bring, see, what? Forth fruit unto God. Now, this sin cannot be in this new heart. It can't find a way in there. It's not in the new heart. It's in the flesh. And he's bringing it out really clear. For when? Now you're not no more. It doesn't say now you're in the flesh. But when ye were in the flesh. You see, it's sin in the flesh. You're no longer in that realm. You say, well, he started off 6 and said, how can you that are dead to that realm live any longer? He's not saying that you ever go back in that realm. He's saying that you go out there and you're miserable trying to live something you're not. Just like somebody that isn't a Christian trying to live over in our realm. You meet them all the time. And it's all what? Fake. So, he says that you should bring fruit unto God. And when we were, that's what happened. Which were by the law. Now, as you can read here, you're going to see that now he's going to talk about the law of Moses. He's going to get off the marriage law. And now on to the law of Moses. Here you're married to another guy. You're to bring fruit, all this wonderful fruit, to the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will. It's the fruit. You don't just get love perfected in your life and not patience. It all ripens together because it's one fruit. So, he says here, this motions starts working in me. Our union was one with a lawbreaker, not a lawkeeper. That's what your union was. Now there's a track. If you that have read Brother Copley's, you'll see that he said, he got to attract my new husband. This is your holiness, people. They believe that they don't believe there's any sin in the flesh. If you get your second act of sanctification, it's eradicated. But they never seemed to get rid of some fruit of anger and hate. See? Where did it come from? So, he said, my second husband, the law, or my first husband that was did away with. The law isn't did away with. The law killed our first husband and took out the vengeance to the end. God's anger was burnt out in those 3 hours. And he was back in fellowship. And he said, Father, first, my God, during that time. But after, the vengeance of God had burnt out. He said, Father, now receive my spirit. It was over. It was done. You see? It's burnt out. It's over. So he said, the law, just when he got the law, it was just like stirring up a bunch of hornets. When he tried to go back under the law. And of course he says, I didn't know it. I really didn't know what the law was until this happened to me. And most people on the service have no idea what the law is. Because they're deceived by it. It can neither justify or sanctify, as we read at the end there, but only condemn you. And when you go back into that union of that lawbreaker, that's what you'll find out you'll do. You're not doing it in the strength of Christ's life, nor the power of the Holy Ghost. You just well as turn off the lights and expect there to be light in here. And that's what we do. And that's what Paul did here. did work in our members to bring forth. Now it's the death fruit. You see, it's the work of love. And this fruit was death fruit. Or something God can never accept is your own self-righteousness, and never will. But now we are delivered from the law, that being dead wherein we were held, that we should serve in the newness of the spirit or the heart. Remember we read over there? Your heart. It's a heart thing. It's a love thing. The newness of this heart, now this spirit isn't the Holy Spirit. This is the spirit of sonship. The new life. The new creation. So we should serve what? As sons. And not in the oldness of the letter. There's no love there. There was fear. That you weren't going to do it, and you didn't do it. And oldness means it's did away with. It's did its job. It showed you that you needed Christ. It showed you had no strength whatsoever in yourself that you could keep the law. It's done away. It's old. It's put away. Now we're sons and daughters. Newness of life. And the life of Christ that can't do anything but love. What shall we say then? Is the law sin? God forbid. Nay, I had not. Now see what he said. I didn't know sin, but by the law, or what the law really said. Now he'd studied law, but he didn't know what it really said. And if you're trying to keep it, you don't know what it really says. You haven't come to reality yet. You are completely helpless to sin. It's a power that you cannot get yourself out of. The only way you could ever get out of the power of sin is to die. Or have something that was stronger. It's just like gravity. How are you going to get away from it? It just pulls you under every time. It's a lot stronger now. Nay, I had not, he doesn't say I didn't have sin. He said I didn't know sin. He said, I was sinning all the time. I desired to go up with my righteousness and put Jesus right off the throne. That's what I desired. You know, the rich young ruler, when he come to Jesus, he asked him, what's the thing I must do to have eternal life? See, eternal life's a gift. In the first place, he's really messed up, isn't he? It's a gift. Nobody can earn eternal life. And so Jesus said to him, because he knew, he dealt with everybody according to how he knew them. And he knew him. And of course, he said, go sell everything you have and give it to the poor. But first, he asked him. And he said, I've did all this. You know? Jesus, there's Jesus standing there. And what did Jesus did? What did he do to save this human race? What did he do? What did he leave? That guy was rich. Why, he didn't even know what riches were, did he? Where did he leave and come? And he's judging himself with the Lord. I'm just as good as you. Well, they hit him right between the eyes in the first thing. Go give a few of your dollars to the poor. And then when you do that, it'll be nothing like what I did, what I left to save you, and then follow me. You see, that's what Paul's zealous for the law. And he found himself in a mess. Nay, I had not known sin. Not that he didn't have it, but he didn't know what it is. But by the law, for I had not known lust. Now these two words no here together are two different no's. One is he perceived. See, you can perceive what alcohol can do to you. Go watch some guy under a bridge. You can perceive that. But then you can start fooling with it and lust for it, and then you'll know it. That's what he did. He perceived. And then after he was saved, when he tried to perfect what he thought was a life that he could now do, and don't think you're not like that, because you are like that. You see? Then he experienced it. And the only way that you could ever have known sin is to be saved. As a sinner, you can't know sin. And you can't know how righteous God is until you had this experience. And you see, if you didn't need these experiences, then God wouldn't be putting you through it. Do you want to rule and reign with Him or don't you? Do you think that if there was another way, He wouldn't have already found it? He wouldn't have surely put His Son through it if there'd have been another way. And by the way, there's nobody in heaven yet with a glorified body that's a bride body yet. There's people there like Moses, but they ain't seen the bride yet. That's when they'll gasp for air. Like I told my wife, you seen that cartoon where that wolf and his eyes and everything are coming out and his tongue? That's not going to be nothing. See, God hasn't made one of those bodies yet. And He's going to. Are you one of the ones that He's doing it with? Huh? Is He lying about it or what's He doing? He's not lying. We could have never, ever known all the pleasures that God could give us if we hadn't went through this. Only through this. And when it's over with, He'll say and she'll say, He's went as far as He could go. At the gym, I was so old and tired, and I was doing some bench presses with those old guys. Bunch of old guys, you know, still working out. And I told them, I says, well, you know, that Oklahoma, that guy got back from Kansas City, and he says, I think they've gone as far as they can go. I was in Kansas City, and he seen, what was it, an 8-story building, and that was the biggest in. Of course, that was the biggest that they could go with cement, but they were going to have steel soon. And he said, I think they've gone as far as they can go. Well, this will be as far as he can go. What about that? And I was hoping to get through this. But I'm going to leave off on that because I'm out of time, and we'll start with 7:7. And we'll find out that Paul's going to have two eyes and a me. He's going to have Saul, and he's going to have Paul. He's going to have the old man. Well, he's dead, but the union there, and the new man, and the new life, and the me. You see? So he'll have I, and me as we get into this battle. And remember what's happened to Paul. This isn't like they'll tell you Awaken Center or all kinds of the holiness people. I'll get into that, Lord willing. This isn't that. This is a saint that's been saved that's put himself back under law. Okay? That's what it is. And as whether it's true or not, I don't know. But it's been told that I've heard it told a woman, a man, or whatever. But it brings out a point. There was a person that had studied this I and me, and they decided they got a speeding ticket, and they didn't like it, and they went before a judge and gave them a bunch of trouble and cost the court some money. So they got up before the judge and said, he says, why do you say you're innocent of this? And he said, well, judge, that wasn't the eye of the new, but that was the flesh that did it. And he said, 3 days for the flesh. Now, me was sitting in the cell, huh? You get it? Me was there. Whether the two eyes were fighting or not, it was me sitting in that cell. Let's stand.